Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Father missed his shot to let you go. He saw you for who you are. A Klingon warrior whose passion for death is surpassed only by his passion for life. Now, you must see yourself as he did, and as your brother did. A warrior not with weapons, but words.
Hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Speech and debate is not for the chicken shit.
What'd you think of that? Some people have criticized the Doctor's use of a vulgarity.
I think it's fine.
But he explains it in that same moment.
I think he's existed for a long time.
Yeah, I want to
say what he wants to.
I want to clarify something that I said earlier about the first and second episode. I think it was technically the second episode. Not technically, I think it was the second episode.
Beta test.
It was when they kept saying bitch all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
The reason I was like annoyed by them saying bitch, it wasn't because I was offended by the word bitch. Hmm. It was just like it sounded corny when he's like, I'm Kyonian, bitch. Yeah. Like, I thought that was corny.
I thought that was a little corny.
Yeah, I wasn't like, I was like, oh, I'm offended they said the word bitch.
It's not because you actually are a bitch.
On the other hand,
what's that from? That's from a movie. On the other hand.
On the other hand.
That's Tim Roth from
Yeah, it is Tim Roth. Is it Four Rooms?
Probably Four Rooms.
Oh, man.
Because he talks all one way, and then like when he's like...
It could be Reservoir Dogs.
Might be Reservoir Dogs. Yeah.
He shot me! No, because in Reservoir Dogs, doesn't Frank he have like some... Life. He has like some kind of like faux American accent.
Why am I
yes.
Mr. Pink?
Yeah. Nonsense.
Yeah, so...
Yes!
Star Trek.
Don't forget to say what episode we're
playing. We're going
to
do it.
Because you've been forgetting recently. You have been forgetting! You've been forgetting, and I can't take it!
Oh, no, he's
and I can't take it!
All right, so
I can't take it! I've had to take too much, and I can't take anywhere. I can't take it if you forget it. It'll be one thing too many. I will not be able to handle one more thing, so you better remember.
Okay, so prior to the podcast starting...
freaking out.
Dan had a Dan can't stand. It wasn't like an on air Dan can't stand. It was sort of an everyday Dan.
Game.
Oh yes,
and he was which makes it worse somehow because it was not performative.
It was not performative at all. And he was very energetic, and I was curious how much of that energy would spill over into the
Google Photos app
had podcast.
The Google Photos app had a number one next to
it. It was an errant notification.
It was a notification badge on the app, and I couldn't figure out what the fucking notification was. And it turns out I have multiple accounts, only one of which I use for my photo stuff. Mm-hmm. I understand that maybe it doesn't know that, but just the point being is like I only use one account for photos, but it was letting me know on one of my other accounts that I never use for photos that my Google Drive was 84% full. And red alert, it's time to clear up some stuff or buy more storage. And it's like I already got Gmail telling me that. I've already got Google Drive telling me about that. I don't need Photos app giving me some mysterious number one that I can't figure out how to get rid of because some other random account it's decided that I need to take immediate action because I'm going to run out of space because I've used 84%. And I was like looking through this for like 10 minutes like pulling my hair out, trying to find like what have I not looked at in this thing? And so now that I've looked at the badge and figured out how to get rid of the badge, I went into it and I turned off that badge notification. Some of my people ask, why didn't I just immediately turn off badge notification? And the answer is because I would have known it was there. I would have turned it off. It wouldn't have shown, but I would have known in my head that that notification was there, like taunting me, invisible, but taunting me, like that demon that's always behind your back, just out of eyesight. You know that demon when you walk around?
I know that.
He's always right out of eyesight.
Shadow Man Syndrome.
Yeah, and so I got rid of it, and now I turned it off, and now I'm sure it'll come back at some point, but I won't know.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters, because in this case, what you don't know can't hurt you in this case.
Often it can hurt you, but in this case it won't.
It's all just mental, but I can't... I'm not going to try to pretend I don't have mental issues about things like this, so I'm just going to just massage it and then move on by pushing it out of the way.
All right. In the interest of moving on...
yes...
We'll take that previous 4 minutes to be one of those ways that we endear ourselves to the audience.
You learn special moments.
You learn a little bit more about one or more of the hosts, and I think you learned a little bit there. So
please keep there it is.
Thankfully, Dan was able to resolve that.
Please keep
with minimal delay to us starting the podcast. Speaking of which, I've already welcomed you to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. But I have to note that it is episode 326 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Crazy.
We know we're not supposed to say that because all the algorithms are all like, we don't want to know that, but we're old school.
Well, we can say it. I thought you just weren't supposed to put it in the title.
It's all of it. All of it, apparently, they're just like, don't even mention how many
That's
episodes.
Dumb.
I mean, come on.
Okay, we're old school. We're elderly podcasters. Well,
I can't argue with that.
Old school. So, episode 326, and on this episode, we just so happen to be continuing our weekly coverage of...
It just so happened.
Star Trek.
Just, who would have thought?
Nobody would have guessed.
Star Trek. Well,
I learned that.
We did it last week.
We're under no obligation, but we enjoy it, so we are continuing our weekly coverage of Star Trek Starfleet Academy by discussing episode 4, titled Vox in Excelso.
Your preparation had better be faultless.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe in Latin means like voice on high, something like that.
Basically.
Voices on high.
Yeah, basically.
High, elevate. I don't know. It's cool title. I'm not a huge fan of the Latin titles, which seem to be a lot of Discovery. Vitus Reflux.
Yeah, the first
life again or some shit.
Yeah, the first two episodes were just kind of normal titles, and then they're going with this Latin thing now. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what next week's is.
Because it's school.
Next week's is...
Zip Zap on the Zoop Zoop?
No. I know. I know what next week's is.
My father.
Because it's Sam's name. It's Siri.
Taught me better than that.
Series Acclamation Mill. That's next week.
Ah.
So everyone's looking forward to discussing that.
Read a book, moron.
Vox in Excelso. We will be discussing that...
Eventually.
Shortly. Momentarily.
I didn't want to... F it up.
But first...
We're going to F it up, baby.
But first, we do have a couple of voicemails. But even before that, I wanted to check Dan. Dan, what bits do we have? What Dan's bits? These are segments
these
that
just
Dan has developed over the last 326 episodes. Do we have any... duty or no duties?
No, there were no duty or no duties.
No duty or no duties. Do we have any that's in orders?
No,
that's in orders.
Nope.
Do you have any lists of things, concepts, scenes, what have you?
Smells.
Sort of. All right.
I mean, I just have a small list of like, you know, how... Like Caleb's trying to help Jaden, but it just keeps pissing off Jaden more and more. But it's a small list.
All right,
it's not that big of a list.
All right,
it's a list though.
We'll incorporate that into the discussion.
I have a list just called Klingon.
Okay.
Aha.
All right, that's appropriate for this episode, which is a Klingon centric episode.
I'd say so.
We knew it was going to be a Klingon centric episode because they had the Klingon writing at the beginning,
which I thought was pretty groovy.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Shuvwe, hot hot me bam lachmer.
You know what's groovy is when Dan speaks Klingon.
Oh, yeah. Dan, you want to regale us? With some Discovery-era Klingon?
Humantu!
I can't even remember.
Tulampoo!
Tulampoo!
It was in like... Mook. Andorian poo.
Tulampoo! Andorian poo!
Kapla!
Kapla!
Krukalakachu. Another. I mean, I'll get there eventually. I like that part. I really like this episode. So another in my book, yes. Another excellent episode. Very Star Trek-y.
I concur.
Looking forward to discussing it. But first, let's do our voicemails. So we have a voicemail from. Jesse from Open
what?
Pike. Jesse from Open Pike Night.
All right.
The Open Pike Night podcast. Take it away, Jesse.
I do have a guess.
Oops.
For
He's my number one dad.
I think we're safe. I think we're okay.
What the hell happened, dude?
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Okay. I don't get it.
I'm freaking out.
So here's the deal.
Sorry about that.
Holy.
Dan's whole like sound clip system is much more sophisticated than mine. Mine's real simple and stupid.
Chief O'Brien?
The problem there was, so Jesse has sent us a very nice voicemail. Yeah. And in addition to that,
he didn't say hi.
He also has a guess for this week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Right.
Which for those,
where the hell?
Those who don't know, that is a game we play each week in the third break. You get to listen to sound clips, and you'll hear that later on in the show. So that's his clip. He entered voice clip. So now.
Strike now. Prove you are a warrior.
I'm a voicemail warrior. I think I've got the right sound clip here. For real, take it away, Jesse.
Hello to the fine hosts of the It Has Got Star Trek podcast. This Hi. Is me, your old friend Jesse from Open Pike Night, calling in with a couple of things I really wanted to call last week, but then there was a sick child at my house, so I had to, be a parent. Anyways, you guys at some point were trying to figure out 2 weeks ago now what the startup sound for the original PlayStation was.
Mm.
And I don't know how you guys forgot that because it's beer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's right.
Beer.
Right. And that sounded cool back. That was like mind blowing.
Right.
Maybe.
I mean, it's pretty iconic.
It is.
Just a little surprised that you forgot about that. Also, in the Shame theme of making corrections, Patrick. Last week, I mean, come on, man. You referred to the ship from Star Trek Prodigy The Prodigy.
Yeah.
What?
I'm stupid.
What are you doing, man? That's the protostar. Yeah. Everybody knows the protostar.
I realize that editing it.
Loving you guys' coverage of Starfleet Academy, having a ton of fun listening. And hey, let me just end this with a quick proposition. Dan, you haven't seen Master and Commander.
Your show has
a Patreon.
You haven't?
My show has a Patreon. Why don't we watch Master and Commander and review it for our Patreons?
Patreon.
Anyways, keep it up, guys. Love you. Bye.
You haven't seen Master and Commander?
Yeah, Dan mentioned
that. Thanks, Agamas!
I think during the, when you weren't here, when we were discussing Kids These Days.
So was he saying he hasn't seen it?
No, he has seen it. He was surprised you hadn't seen it. He was suggesting, Jesse was suggesting.
That we, yes, I know what he was suggesting.
Okay.
I was just curious that like.
I know what he's suggesting.
I think it's a great movie. It's a Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Like
it is.
It's like a running gag that people are like, this is like, it's like a Star Trek movie. Because it really is kind of like a Star
Trek
movie.
Books are all supposed to be like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm back to the PlayStation thing. I remember now that, it's very clear in my head now. And I'm surprised at myself for forgetting that sound.
Yeah, yeah.
He's right to point that out. And
got you, dude.
You know, admonish me for that.
He shamed you.
But I'm trying to. I don't even remember what sound we were playing last week.
It wasn't a. What it was?
Was it a jingly
Nintendo.
Jingle?
No, it was a couple weeks ago. And
it was a jingly jingle.
It was a sound from the show, from Starfleet Academy, a background sound that to you made you think of something, and you were attempting to place that. Thing and you had suggested maybe it was the PlayStation sound, but you weren't even 100% sure about
it.
I was kind of like,
But it was from something.
Yeah, well, it was from the Starfleet Academy show.
No, I know, but it was from, it reminded me of a video game sound. I just don't remember.
Exactly.
No, that's not it. No, that's not it. No. it from episode 1 and 2?
Yes, I believe it was something from episode 2.
Well, I'll have to go home. I'll have to go look at that up later. It might have been, maybe it was like a Sega Genesis sound or something.
Could be.
I know it was from some video game and it totally wasn't PlayStation, but it was from something.
All right. Thank you, Jesse, and we will be in touch offline because I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Any excuse to watch Master and Commander and to monetize that shit would be even better. So
Patreon.
Folks who want to give us money, go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Give us money.
I felt good.
Okay, now we have a voicemail from Isaac. Who,
oh, here we go.
He is responding to a voicemail last week from Sincera. And Sincera was asking who Thingus, Wingus, and Dingus are. And to
what?
Yeah, okay. Well, let me explain that. Ooh. Because that's Isaac frequently will address Dan, Jesse, and I as Thingus, Dingus, and Wingus, or Wingus, Dingus, and Thingus, or some combination of those.
Whatever, yeah.
Sincera was curious which name applied to which. And Isaac has dutifully responded.
Dutifully.
Hi, John, Don, and Ron. It is Hi. Isaac from the Trek 365 podcast. I was essentially summoned by Sincera last week. So hello to Sincera too. I was asked vicariously, is that the right word, Patrick? You'd know.
Nope.
I wouldn't.
Who is Wingus, Dingus, and Thingus? And that's the beauty of it, guys. Like, it's a triple bang insult, right?
Triple bang.
But I'm not saying who is who, because that's up for you guys to go, well, he wouldn't call me Wingus. He'd probably call you Wingus.
He's trying to start shit.
Well, I'm not a Thingus, so that means one of you two guys are Thingus. And it obviously causes quite a lot of dissent. It's subtle. It's a long game kind of tactic that I'm playing here.
Subtle buddy.
But
subtle
it's buddy. Obviously to mess with you guys. Mm. I have seen cracks appear. I'm not sure if it's because of this, but they're there all the same. Anyway, I was thinking about this before hitting record, if any of them are more offensive than the other. And I think they're all pretty level. I'd probably think Wingus is the least offensive because it doesn't really mean anything. Like, you have wings? Is that the insult? Like, that's not,
fly.
You know, unless you're saying, I guess, that you're a little bit
flighty,
wide.
Blighty.
And I mean, like, physically, not just, you know. So we've got that. I think Thingus is worse than Wingus because it's like, I don't even know what you are. I'm just going to call you a thing. That's pretty offensive, really. Mm-hmm. And Dingus already exists. I can't take responsibility for the term Dingus, but it's there all the same. It is also a partial callback to a Futurama line. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys loved that one back in the day before it got cancelled and then got cancelled and then got cancelled again. There's a moment where Leela goes, Wingus and Dingus over here. And then Zap Brannigan goes, Wingus, Dingus, or something like that anyway. So it's not an Isaac original. Sorry about that. None of my jokes are, though. Anyway, edit that down because that's really long. Looking forward to your next episode. And, see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Agamus. You know, nobody ever pauses to let me play.
Hi.
No one ever pauses. No one ever does.
You're
it.
You're trying to make that a thing.
I mean, everyone kind of...
I thought it
maybe,
was a thing.
Maybe you should be more
I think
overt
it is.
About
well,
it.
I think everyone always expects it. Just no one pauses for it.
Well, they just don't think about it.
Well, because they always expect that. And
thanks, Agamus!
The hell with those people.
Yeah. Wait, was he saying, like, Wingus makes it could be an insult because it might imply that you're wide, not physically, but what? Is this like an Australian thing?
No, you're saying physically, not...
No, he said not physically.
Because you got wings.
He said not. He specifically said not physically. So maybe wide is some Australian term for like not like fully balanced in the mind or something. Like you're leaning a little wide in the mind.
Yeah.
Like you're a little
crikey. This buddy's a little wide.
Yeah. You're wide of the mark in the mind. Like
wide of the mark in the mind.
Like your mind's not hitting the bullseye.
Jesus. Those are good interpretations.
Yeah.
Thank you, Isaac.
Thanks.
As always. So, yes, thank you all.
A battle.
If you would If you'd like to send us an email or a voicemail or whatever, you can write to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or go to itsgotstartrek.com/record. You can record a little voicemail to us.
That's snazzy.
Send us a voicemail or MP3, whatever. Definitely go check out what Isaac is doing on Trek 365. All sorts of fun tomfoolery going on over on
There's that,
that
haiku shit.
On that podcast haiku. Feed. Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me, Jesse. I'll get to that in a second.
Sorry.
Check out Open Pike Night, of course, premiere podcast on Strange New Worlds. They interview fucking cast and crew. They talk about other shows. It's amazing.
Correct.
Open Pike Night rules. So thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you, our Jesse, because I have forgotten.
Uh-huh.
I've forgotten to remind folks in a long time of our policy that if you write a review, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, you write a review for the podcast, let us know you wrote that review, and then Dan is going to compose a custom haiku, mm-hmm. and he won't use
for
it.
You?
He's not going to use AI or anything like that.
He uses your name.
I do not need you to defend me.
He does like to use your username that wrote the review as the basis for the haiku. That's the thing he's chosen to do.
That's so how he works that can, it, baby. That
can guide
you said you said that it, you said that in a weird way.
Not in a way. I'm explaining it.
He
so
says
that
you've criticized
weird.
Me. For that.
No,
it's
no.
In the past, you have criticized me on that
decision.
I don't know
that I've criticized you.
Yeah, you were like, for some crazy reason, he's fucked up. Some inexplicable reason, Dan. No, blah blah blah.
He may have said something.
I think you're mischaracterizing. I think what happened was is on.
Are you trying to teach me a lesson?
The first number of haikus, I didn't catch that you were doing that with the name, and I think at one point I was like, wait a second. All your haikus are based off of the person's name, and that I just found that
it
interesting.
It did take a while. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to create a crazy username and then write an awesome review, ideally, or a bad review, whatever, Dan, whatever it is, Dan is going to write a haiku.
Right.
So a review gets you a haiku.
That is not a simple thing to say.
Cantaloupe Mountain 56.
But I think we got it all. I think we got it all out there. What a bizarre. Bizarre name that Jesse came up with. There.
What would you say? Cantaloupe 56?
Said Cantaloupe Mountains 56.
You cantaloupe, what will your honey do?
I know, that's right? That's the question.
All right. So we've exhausted all that business.
For real?
Who said that?
Now we can get back into the discussion of Vox in Excelso. play a sound clip. Just pick a random one.
Play something, bitch.
My pleasure.
I forgot what I was going to say before about the I'm a Kaioshin bitch.
Whatever this is, I'm going to hate it.
It was cheesy, but when I thought about it, I
Kaionian. Kaioshin.
I'm Kaionian bitch.
You're singing Laotian?
Oh, no.
Ancient Mr. Khan.
Yeah.
No.
I exist as both.
King of the Hill jokes aside, the I'm Kaionian. Kaionian? Is that what
yes.
I'm Kaionian. Don't get frustrated with me.
Darum Raimi is Kaionian, yes, bitch.
Okay. It is cheesy, but I think you could also view it as he's kind of a goofy, cheesy guy in that sense. He's trying to look cool and he's failing.
He's so
irrelevant.
It works for the character for me in that sense that
arrogant.
It's silly. Okay.
Irrelevant.
Now, Klingon episode. It's centered on Jaden Krag, and I think what we see this week.
Jaden Krag.
And we see next week as well. This series seems to be playing a little bit more with the old, let's do an episode that focuses on this person, then let's do an episode that focuses on this person.
Yeah. You could tell because it had the Klingon writing, I said already.
And there's the A-B plot. Even though this is one of those episodes where the A and B plot like converge, it's still like an A and B plot, and there's something really kind of comforting about that. It's not totally. That's been absent or character-centric
well,
episodes.
I mean,
they haven't been absent in Modern Trek, but
is it an A-B plot or is it like an A-A plot? Because
I'd say it's A-B.
Well, what would
they're
you...
related.
They're, but I mean, would you say that the speech thing is the B plot?
No, the speech thing is the A plot focusing on...
See, because I thought his whole background took up so much of the episode that would be considered like the A plot. The whole point of the episode was discovering and talking about Jaden's past and him like understanding who he is.
Let me rephrase it then. for me, the Jaden part is the A plot, and I combine
Jaden Krog.
The debate team thing is the framework, is the lattice work upon which
the lattice work,
the character lattice. Discovery,
the onion work
is structured upon, and then the B plot is this whole like. What are we going to do with these crazy Klingons? These crazy Klingons are just dying left and right. We're going to give them a planet.
Okay.
We're going to give them a Klingon.
And then, okay, but, and the, then whole, so, but the whole flashback stuff, though, seemed A-E to me.
That's A-plot, for sure. I'm saying that's all of the Jaden stuff is A-plot.
Yeah, that's A, right.
100% Jaden plot, A-plot.
Dang but it. It's all but it's all fueled by the what's going on with those Klingons?
No, because that's
a B.
That's an incidental because he was already weird before the Klingon news came through.
But that's the catalyst for them having the discussion for all these feelings to come bubbling up is the reason that bubbling all comes up come is because up. Of the Klingon incident.
It's still and when I say incidental, that doesn't mean it's unrelated. It means it's related, but that it's still two separate plot threads.
But it's the reason that
in
is
in terms of the plot.
But that's the reason Jaden is having these questions is because of this
he was being weird before he heard the news of the ship blowing up.
He's weird.
No, he was just having problems with speech. He had a hard time speaking in public speaking.
Yeah.
But like the emotions, like he didn't start like Jaden like became for someone who was like a pacifist and doesn't want to fight, he was becoming kind of aggressive and violent this episode. And it was all because of this insecurity he was having about, he was questioning who he was as a Klingon his whole life, feeling like he was rejected as a Klingon and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so he felt all this insecurity and now all that's bubbling up and now he's being extra aggressive to Caleb and all this shit's coming to the surface and it's coming out as like, as a part of him that he doesn't feel he is.
Yeah. Then we are free to disagree on the plot structure because it's irrelevant.
That's not the plot structure.
No,
that
but
is
to me.
That,
to me, it's that's a not very the plot structure. That A B plot.
That's not, that's
if you
not
disagree, it's fine. Whatever.
What I'm saying is not a plot structure. It's just like it's just what was. It's like that. That's what was happening.
Okay.
Which is I don't know.
All I'm saying is I was making an observation which people are free to disagree with because I may be
I disagree.
I may be wrong.
Well, I disagree.
Well, I also can finish my observation that other than Lower Decks and to a certain degree
very bad.
To a certain degree Strange New Worlds, Discovery, Picard and big chunks of Strange New Worlds, they focus on specific characters, a narrow set of characters. They flesh out other characters and stuff, and occasionally have a partial plot, like you know. But in the olden TNG, DS9, you know, the Star Trek that everyone loves, they would have like this is the Worf centric episode, this is the Troy centric episode, this is the Wesley centric episode, and I've kind of got the impression that similar to what they did on Lower Decks, they're like. I don't know yet. It's still, we're only four episodes in, but it just seems like they're kind of doing more of that, which I'm praising because I like that. It's, you can turn on this episode at any time and enjoy it outside of the context of watching this season in order, right? This is something I've talked about before where I enjoyed Discovery and Picard to varying degrees, but I'm also like, you can't just like pick a random episode and watch. You have to be like, I'm going to watch season three now. And you might not even want to do that.
This
you know?
One's more episodic.
Yeah. And because you're never sure with a new series, like, you know, they're introducing us to all these cool characters. How much are we going to learn? And we learned a shitload about Jaden.
Too much.
And we learned about other characters in the process, but it was centered on Jaden, which was cool.
And speaking of TNG.
Dad, remember when Mother taught us about the Nightbird?
Nightbird.
Do you have the? Does he play the? Does he ever play? Did he play the
Nightbird?
You crazy?
Because he like? Because he wasn't able to play it. Wasn't that the deal? Riker?
He
couldn't get the solo.
He
couldn't get through the solo.
Yeah,
it wasn't the solo. It was just like the head or whatever.
Olden days, a glimpse of stockings, a look down
is this like, I don't know what this is from.
This is from Anything Goes.
I know.
This is Anything Goes from Anything Goes.
I don't know why I have this.
There must be a reason.
Are we going to get tagged for this?
I don't know. We'll find out.
This might be...
You know, it would be ironic. By the way, it would be ironic.
It's a pretty old tune.
If we got a copyright strike for Anything Goes, because it'd be like, the song is lying.
Yeah, not just Anything Goes.
Not on YouTube, not in the modern, late-stage capitalist world we live in.
It just says Anything Goes trombone. I can't imagine what I used this for. Hmm. I was looking for. I know somewhere I have Riker playing trombone, and I did, and so I typed in trom, thinking I'd find it, but I don't have. I can't find it.
Oh, maybe you can look over the break, because we've got to do that. We've got to take a break.
Red alert.
So we will take a break, and when we get back, Dan might have Riker playing trombone.
He might not.
But what we can guarantee is that we will continue discussing Vox in Excelso. Be right back.
Go away.
I said goodbye.
And we're back.
It is good to see you.
You know, I think Anything Goes is probably like public domain at this point. It's like old enough to like, it doesn't matter.
But the recording may not be. The performance might not be.
Yeah, very good.
Do you know what Dan found? Dan found the trombone sounds.
That bone is my bone.
Is that all Riker playing the bone?
Riker on the bone.
Is that Riker Bonin? That's Riker Bonin. From,
was that Riker from, on the from, bone?
Is it all from Future Imperfect? I think that's from the episode Future Imperfect.
Yep.
Which we discussed, I don't know.
That's nuts, dude.
We discussed that last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was recent.
That's Jean-Luc.
Jean-Luc. Ethan. Squiggly alien. All right. The finest Star Trek content.
Absolutely.
This side of the Alpha Quadrant.
Is it just too high? Is that the problem?
All right, there was some boning.
We're all boned up now.
Totally boned.
Totally boned.
This podcast is completely boned.
Now we're boned.
And now I moved back to the main page.
Okay.
This one.
He's Dan's by main page.
Oh yes.
Dan's referring to his special sound effects contraption that he had there.
Oh man.
He's got the
Ape Kepe Urbecha. Ape Kepe Urbecha.
Chief O'Brien?
Alana's on it.
I'm not joking, Lee.
We're dangerous.
No, you are dangerous.
This is irrelevant.
You have accurately with that sound clip of Kevin Sisko, you have accurately characterized your own contributions to this segment of the show.
I can be an asshole sometimes.
Okay. All right, so
let's talk about this episode.
Okay, well, actually, first.
Oh, no.
Nah. No. Just real quick. We talked about the Star Trek
60. The Klingon gods help us.
Star Trek 60 bumper beginning thing, you know, the new front, you know, they show at the front of every episode. And we commented, that's where I made my error. I referred to the Prodigy from the show Prodigy, not the Protostar. We noted that they did not have the Protostar. They did not have the La Serena from Picard, although we didn't really care about that. But I also realized they also didn't have the Cerritos, and they didn't have the Enterprise E.
Now, you have no understanding of what any of that means.
I couldn't care less about the Enterprise E so much. But the Cerritos, it would have been nice to have there. I understand there was a rhythm to it. They were focusing on specific ships for the 60th anniversary. Okay, I get it. It's all good. All good. Still.
Still.
No.
Irrelevant.
They have like the Defiant.
Yeah, it's awesome that they have the Defiant. I'm glad they have that.
Yeah, that was fun. It's always fun to have the Defiant included. It's like, oh yeah, the Defiant.
Well,
Defiant
sure, but if awesome you're gonna have the Defiant, you gotta have the fucking Cerritos.
Well, it's like, the Defiant is because it's like you know, Deep Space Nine. You're used to this space station all the time, but then you see the Defiant, it's all badass, and you're like, it's yeah, there's badass. A ship. That's right.
Absolutely.
The show.
And there it is.
This episode, I should say, as I mentioned earlier, I really loved the episode. I thought it was really well done. However, the very beginning did have something that has aggravated me on more than one occasion in the modern Star Trek, which is a too fast montage where they cut between things too quickly. The rhythm is the narrative, the music, everything, the narration, I should say, and the music is very contemplative and all this other stuff. But then it's like bam, bam, bam.
Contemplative?
Yeah, or contemplative, sure. Contemplative. I like contemplative. Let's do that.
Tomato.
Picard did this a couple times. It happens sometimes in Discovery. And it's not a big deal, but I don't know. I just find it funny when it's like they're trying to like make us be in awe of something, and it's just like cutting back and forth between a bunch of shit.
What are you so scared of?
I just don't like it because the rest of this show, and actually overall the series, I thought has been really good about being more conservative with the camera work. There's a lot more lockdown cameras. Yeah.
It's not going so dizzy crazy.
And when they do dizzy crazy, it makes sense. Discovery would sometimes aggravate me where they'd be having a standard Star Trek problem solving conversation. It's like, let's have the camera fucking spinning around like crazy. And they're just like talking about some techno babble shit. In this show, they've done it when it's like action scene. Otherwise, when it's a couple people talking, it's just the camera's just pointed at the people talking. Right. It's okay. I'm excited about that. But this montage thing, work on that. Work on that. Okay.
That day is not today.
But that does transition us into the beginning of this debate thing. And this episode, I think, has a number of great lines. And one of them is right at the when the doctor is he's trying to talk about the importance of speech and argumentation. And he says, I debated myself into existence.
Right.
Which is, that's awesome. I mean, because he did. I mean, he did that on Voyager and it was an awesome episode. But like...
But then when he goes,
I could prove you don't exist.
And then I was a little disappointed because I thought he was gonna follow that up with some kind of awesome like wordplay. But we were left with nothing. I was like, I want to see how. I bet that argument totally could be made.
I bet that argument has been made.
He could do it.
I kind of get the impression.
No more of your word games.
There might have been some like weird editing in this episode, a couple bits, because that was one where it kind of felt like maybe there was something there and they cut it out. The other thing is the quote.
It got edited out.
Because remember, he quotes.
You don't get it.
He quotes Judge Satie from, you know, from the TNG episode, the famous one we talked about.
He goes, with the first link, the chain is forged, the first speech censored, the first thought forbidden, us all irrevocably. Yeah.
There's a line missing. There's a line from the quote is missing where it's like, it chains us all irrevocably. There's a couple words that are like not included, and the quote doesn't make any sense without those words. So it seems like that was cut out.
I don't get it.
And
I don't get it.
It may be because I don't know if y'all have noticed. I think it's kind of awesome. Each of these episodes so far has been like an hour long. Like a full fucking hour.
Oh, I know.
Right? Yeah. Remember when Picard had that one episode that was like fucking 20 minutes? It was like 36 minutes. It was crazy.
This episode like had a lot going on with it. Every time they went down to that, first of all, I wonder what planet that was they were on when they were nomads.
It was a refugee planet.
It was like some nomad Klingon thing.
Yeah.
But it felt like I was in some kind of fantasy novel or something.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The way the camera was done, the music and sound production was excellent, I thought.
The angles were all crazy. Because he was remembering.
And they were doing some crazy camera, like lens angles or
dream,
some shit like
dream
that.
Lens.
The clothes they were wearing. There was one scene where I think it was
awesome outfits.
It was
one of his dads.
It was my sleeve was getting in the way of things.
Oh, I thought Dan was giving me some strange sort of like Roman like curse.
No.
So like, he was dismissing me. Like, shut your mouth.
No,
I'm making a point,
but I'm talking about Shaq.
Right.
It was
Dar.
You know his brother.
Yeah.
Dar. 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 Dar.
These two Thars sound very similar. Listen.
Dar. 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 Dar.
Do you think they could use the same clip?
I don't think so because they sound very slightly different, but it sounds almost
just
the same.
Good consistency by the actor.
Dar, dar.
I mean, it might be the same.
They sound a little different.
They sound a little different.
The second one,
a little bit.
There were some Kalishes.
Kalish.
And then there was
Kalish.
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 Konos.
Oh, there was a Konos. Can I play as the Konoshes?
Yeah, you didn't even tell us you had a list of Konoshes.
This is an audio list.
This is that's a Dan's bits.
Okay,
thing.
I didn't even consider it. My bad.
No, it's all right.
So here's the cone. I don't think I got quite all of them, but I got several of them. So I'll just play them as I play them, as one does.
Yes.
From different people. And we will hear how they are pronounced throughout the episode.
We will hear it.
Talk about Star Trek pronouncing things differently.
Yeah.
Kronos.
Konosh.
Kronos.
Konos. Kronos. Kronos.
Kronos.
And play it again one more time, this time in reverse order.
Okay.
Kronos. Portnosh.
That's this one's ridiculous to me.
Portnosh.
Where's that from? That's Oba Wojcik.
Okay.
Wojcik.
Which sounds like some kind of dessert.
That guy was an awesome Klingon. That guy
I kept thinking of David Harbour for some reason playing that role. I know it wasn't him, but I kept imagining, what if David Harbour was playing this? Yeah, I don't know why I kept thinking about him. Yeah. But anyway, so...
Kronos.
So he says...
Kronos.
He sounds like Kronos. That's Vance.
Kronos.
I don't know what that is. Then Thok is actually kind of similar to that in a way. She goes...
Kronos. 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 Portnosh, Kronos.
They're the most similar, but they're still different. Then this is
a Klingon culture is varied and broad.
Then there's
I had the same thought about David Harbour.
You really? Did? Nice.
Yeah, I did.
See, Jesse knows what I'm talking about.
I wasn't getting any David Harbour.
I was like, I don't think so, but you know, he kind of looks, he reminds me of
I was thinking he could play that.
The actor's name is David Curley. Yeah.
Right, well, so is, that's not why I was thinking that.
He's got the same first
name. And so this is... I mean, that's like last week when we were looking for a quote for the for someone saying one, and I was like, well, I got someone saying gone. That's off by one letter.
Yeah, but then you found Captain Ake saying number one.
I did.
You edited it on the fly.
I did. That's unrelated, but it is a nice sort of speaks to my intelligence and skill. Yeah. Caleb says
Konosh.
He gives it a ush. Yeah. Jaden says
Konosh.
So this Konosh. Is here the Klingon saying it.
Konosh. Konosh. Portnosh. Portnosh.
Oh, so actually it's Jaden and Wojcik are the most similar.
Portnosh. Portnosh.
And then here's that freaking asshole cadet.
Kronos?
The one who was like into the conspiracy theories.
Oh, that guy was
Kronos?
It was like such a piece of shit.
Kronos.
So Vance and that dude both said Kronos.
Kronos. Kronos? Yeah. Kronos. Portnosh.
Yeah, that dude. Okay, so both of those cadets were kind of shitty. Because,
what was the other one?
The other one wasn't as shitty. The other one was basically saying, like, you know, because of what happened with Klingon. I think,
she was the one who was like brought it up initially.
Yeah,
that person.
Yeah, she goes.
She introduced the idea.
She goes, Doctor. She goes, Doctor. It seems irresponsible to focus elsewhere with what's just happened with the Klingons. And meanwhile, it's like, okay, yeah, but like this guy is a Klingon and he's dealing with all this shit and like a bunch of his. Like people have died, like, you know, why do you feel like you have to bring that up? But then the second guy is just a total fucking moronic asshole because he's like, everyone knows they lost Kronos because they blew it up themselves. Yeah. It's like, well, motherfucker, even if you do believe that, even if that were true, like, why are you saying something like that? Like, do you know what tact is? It's one thing having conspiracy theories and being like an asshole about it, but it's another being completely tactless about someone who's dealing with a major tragedy.
There might be a relationship between those two things.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Kronos is there. Original world, right?
Like, yes.
And so after Star Trek VI, they go to a new world?
No. Star Trek VI was where Praxis blew up, which fucked up Kronos. But so they weren't able to afford both, like, their full army war. The analogy
they
was...
They still lived on Kronos.
They still, yeah, and they needed the Federation's help. You know, they needed other people's help to sort it out, right? Basically, they couldn't do full-time war and
so they still planet. They still had Kronos... When the burn happened.
And I am just a Klingon warrior.
And what we're given to understand, even though it's a very brief bit of dialogue, is that the dilithium reactors, when the burn happened, just like it blew up all those ships that happened to be using their warp drive.
Blew up all the ships.
Kronos and a number of other planets that used dilithium reactors, the same thing happened. And I guess if you used too many of those reactors...
Too much dilithium.
Yeah.
So I guess like Kronos had like... Earth, I guess, didn't have much in the way of dilithium reactors, but yeah. Kronos did. So they were saying basically, like, after this explosion on this large cargo ship, which must have been a pretty fucking big cargo ship, they were saying the Klingons were on the brink of extinction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they were already fucked up,
so,
and now it's like
so I'm
the last remainders are.
So there was like the eight remaining Klingon most of the members of the eight remaining houses were aboard. Yeah. I'd be curious to know how many houses were officially like
left
that were originally in their prime.
Oh,
like,
right.
I'm curious. Yeah. I mean, versus like eight remaining houses.
That's a good question. Like what the divisions
and then like how many people are in a house? Yeah. I'm really curious about that because
it still doesn't seem like there's that many Klingons.
Because like no matter how big a giant cargo ship is, the fact if one explodes. And that causes you to be on the brink of extinction. That means there must have been somewhere in the range of like a few like dozens of thousands of Klingons left, yeah. maybe, like yeah. after the burn or something like that. Not many.
Yeah, you do. Right. You are getting the impression that that's the case. It also helps explain the complete lack of Klingons in Discovery's third, fourth, and fifth right. seasons,
yeah. or the fact that they were just trying to like distance themselves from the original goofy ass.
What I like that they've done here, and they've done it specifically in this episode, is they've reminded us of the range of Klingons that we've seen in that Obel Wojcik, who's apparently a Polish Klingon.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's got his certain head style. His
head style. You're commenting on his physical appearance.
I am. In that, it's
read a book, moron.
It's helpful to be reminded that the Klingons are a very diverse culture, mm-hmm. both in how they pronounce their words.
I learned that here,
and in their vibe, because we have seen. Over the course of Star Trek from TOS onward, we've seen Wojcik-style Klingons that are kind of like chortly and laughy and fun. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Jaden-style, or one of Jaden's dads, who are a little bit more like serious.
Jaden.
Right? Drekkal.
And Drekkal, do you know who he was played by?
No, but I felt like I should know for some reason. I don't know.
He was played by Martin Roach. Where you'll probably recognize him from was he was one of the main Earth commanders in The Expanse.
Earth commander.
He was the one that was like one of the good guys and was fucked over by the guy who was in Discovery season 4.
We're Klingons bearing gifts,
but they will not serve you if you are dead.
He's the voice and the eyes. Right, he's one of those actors where his eyes and his voice are super recognizable, even under all this.
Right now, prove you are a warrior.
But I like that he's got the kind of he's like the bald Klingon style, kind of like General Chang in Star Trek VI. His husband and wife are more like and the kids are more like old school, like TNG season 1 Klingons.
He has a husband and a wife.
Yeah, they have a triad.
Some kind of triad.
The triad marriage.
But they don't point that out in this episode.
They do. Yeah.
Where do you see his husband in this episode?
Well, there's three. There's two. There's the two men and the wife. Jaden refers to his fathers, and then Caleb says, "You have two dads," and he's like, "Yeah, I have a triad. We have a triad."
I don't know how I missed family. That. Because I remember, like, I noticed on Memory Alpha that there were, I was...
The other dude doesn't talk much. He's mostly just like, hey, oh.
So, what I was going to say is, Thar was all like, I was talking about how this whole...
That's the brother, right?
Yeah.
The super awesome brother.
Yeah.
He's like the most awesome brother ever.
Yeah.
Thar.
I don't have any brothers. Jesse doesn't have any brothers. Dan could speak to
the
quality of brother, because he's got two pretty awesome brothers.
I like how, his brother, Thar, he has, like, these strong warrior vibes, but he totally gets and supports his alternative bird watching lifestyle brother Jaden.
He's like, I lied to them. You're fucking,
go
look at some fucking birds, dude.
He saw Jaden's heart even before Jaden did. He found the Starfleet
one of the many times I teared up during this episode, by the way.
He found the Starfleet transmitter, which originally I thought it was gonna be like, oh, so that's how he got in contact with Starfleet, but no, that's not how because it broke. But I guess that's how he got the idea. And so basically his brother is the reason
pushed him out of the nest.
Yeah, and his brother who And it's all much better that his brother's like this super badass warrior and like, but he's like super, he's like, this is not your kind of battle, mm-hmm. basically. He's like, you are meant for different kind of like battles or some shit or some Klingon stuff, but it was cool. But I was saying like, so the whole planet had this fantasy vibe with the music and the mm-hmm. sound. It had this sort of, fantasy music vibe. But then you see Thar off in the distance. It was a scene where Jaden's sitting by the fire and for some reason the screen went like really bright and then he started beating on his chest. It was like weird, like sort of effects they were throwing at the screen. But you see his brother Thar off in the distance and he has on these like what looks to be like a hangy flannel look, not flannel in color, but
like a kilt.
He's wearing
a kilt.
No, he's wearing what looks like, minus the colors, it looks like he has a basically like a shirt tied around his waist and it's hanging. It looks like he's wearing like a grunge jacket. It looks like he's wearing skinny jeans and it looks like he's wearing giant clompy like Doc Martens.
It's just like a guy hanging out in Seattle.
He looks like fucking, look at that. Look at the scene of Thar like in the
1991
distance.
Seattle.
I think it was the final flashback.
Final flashback.
It was around the time. It was around the time of the final flashback and the final speech and all that stuff. When it goes back and it shows Jaden by the fire, and then like his brother's off in the distance, and he's kind of wavy and stuff. Mm. And yeah, it looks like he's wearing skinny jeans, big clompy boots, some kind of hanging like
I didn't catch thing, that,
and like
dude.
A and like a big grungy jacket. He looks like he's got the dreads, the Klingon dreads. Yeah. So yeah, he looks like some
damn,
Seattle grunge.
Dude.
I'm gonna Seattle Grunge. A good excuse to watch the episode yet again.
Do it.
Are you for real, Dan?
I'm for real. I'm never not for real.
Lana's on it.
The flashback scenes were really, really good.
Yeah, man.
I thought they were well written, constructed, acted. As you pointed out, Dan, the way they filmed it was interesting and engaging and connected well to what was going on with the social anxiety Klingon action in the real world.
I was thinking about the scenes where like Jaden was sort of figuring himself out. Yeah. There was that scene with him and Darum, like before the final thing,
where Darum comes in and is kind of hilarious and awesome.
Yeah,
talking about Caleb. Awesome thing.
But there was a moment, a little sexy. There was a moment at the end where they kind of locked eyes for a moment.
Yeah. It seemed
Jaden seemed into it for a moment, but then he seemed like he kind of snapped out of it, and he was like, no, whoa. It seemed like he got weirded out for a moment, like he kind of like lost himself for a moment, and then he snapped back into reality. He was like, whoa, and then he got weirded out and pushed him away and then sat down, and like, and then Darum knew, he's like, okay, he's not ready yet. But it seemed like there was, because they were mentioning in the previous episode, the sports episode, they were talking about
the Vita's reflux.
They were talking about, Caleb was like talking about, if I have to hear another story about like, I forget the words he used, but basically it was
Darum having sex with many men and women.
Yeah, he was talking about like he got pissed off because I had, because I was dating.
He was dating the brother, and then the brother got mad because he slept with the brother's sister, and then the other sister or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But they
had like some kind of Denobulan style like network relationship thing. It seemed like.
Yeah, or they're just
someone is with many people, but those people will also be with many other people.
And he has a fish penis.
And it's like. It's like I could be with you, Patrick, and I could be with Jesse, but you might not be with Jesse. You might be with someone else, and Jesse would be with someone else.
So what you're saying is that the Kyonians are groovy.
Yeah, they're pretty groovy.
They're like a groovy people.
But everybody better get tested.
Darum, what was I going to say about...
weren't you gonna say?
Darum's got the pretty eyes. I can understand if you're standing too close, you could get a little thrown off.
He's very pretty when he turns into his Kyonian blueness.
You prefer the Kyonian blueness?
I think he's very pretty. His
Kyonian blueness.
You don't think he's pretty?
I don't know if he's prettier than his human form.
I think he looks more delicate.
Okay,
which is ironic because he's actually a lot tougher.
He's probably like less delicate.
Yeah. If I have, what is that line?
What are you, what are you typing in? What are you looking for? What I've line seen, are you
I've
looking
seen
for?
Tougher tardigrades.
No, that was last week.
Okay, I would love to just have one shower without having to hear about Darum's multiple polycule underwater hookups.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that was
polycule.
A good line. Good line.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, Caleb sounded a little jealous, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Even though he's all about Tarima.
Yeah.
All about the Tarima.
All about that Tarima.
Okay, I remember. So the thing with Jaden...
Pepperoni is the whole point.
The thing with this... The thing with Jaden's plot, and this is true of both the...
It doesn't even come from a real pig!
In my view, the A and B plot in Dan's
view... Oh, you mean the B and... The A and A plot?
The A and A plot.
A.
You've called things A and A plots before.
I don't recall.
You have.
Maybe I
So don't make fun of me for shit that you've done yourself.
Okay. Maybe once or twice.
I will refrain from making fun of you. On this...
I did not ask for pointers.
On this specific... on these specific grounds.
Arrogant.
Look, if you know Klingons...
I know tons of Klingons.
I know tons. I know millions of Klingons.
If you know story structures for both the A and the B plot, within 15 minutes or so, you know how these are going to resolve. I think it's pretty easy to guess, okay.
You're trying to teach me a lesson?
This story is ultimately going to be about, you have to meet the Klingons on their cultural terms. That's the right thing to do. And you can do a gimmick where everyone will be cool. You just have to like figure out the cool way to do it. That's an old school Star Trek storyline.
Totally.
I didn't mind that it was somewhat predictable because in some ways that was very comforting. because it did feel kind of like an old school, fairly direct tale. But also, again, I think they just presented it very well. They went through the motions of telling this tale in an interesting way that allowed us to learn so much about the characters in the process.
Well, so Wojcik gave Ake a hint, like during this whole thing about like how to beat them in the thing, like because they won't accept charity.
Yeah. So dot dot dot. That's he basically was like dot dot dot.
Yeah.
Wink wink.
Yeah.
See you later.
Winkity wink, baby.
We used to bang each other. At least once.
Yeah, that's right. How is that interpersonal notes?
That's weird.
What do you mean interpersonal notes?
Like Vance was able to find out that they were having a good time together.
Oh, you think that? Oh yeah, I guess Vance has at least assumed it. You're right. Vance clearly Vance knew that she had some influence over this fella.
He's the top of the shit. Dude.
Yeah.
He's got to know some shit.
All the Klingons are. I can't remember.
I can't remember what the line is, but he does give her some hint as to like something about battle. Like
we have to conquer or something. We'll only something through conquer or victory or whatever.
But here's the thing about that battle scene. First of all, like there was a lot of risk going on with that whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's like a lot of Star Trek.
So they're taking a huge risk that
like accidentally start a horrible war and murder all the Klingons. Yeah. It's like, "Oh, now they just kill all the Klingons."
Yeah, they're taking a huge risk assuming that like Wojcik picks up what they're putting down with this whole like we're gonna attack you shit.
It'd be so hilarious, like alternate universe where he just doesn't clock onto it.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, wait, what the fuck? And he freaks out.
I mean, and here's the thing: like the Federation is letting them win, which has to be like the worst dishonor of all time, really.
They purposely didn't bring enough ships. And
I counted the ships, the U.S. ships, the U.S. the Federation.
You counted all the ships?
No, USS. They were USS. That's what I meant to say, because they did call them the USS. Mm. The Federation ships, there was the from left to right, there was the USS Riker, which they actually mentioned last.
Yeah.
They mentioned.
Why can I do?
Thank you. So it was funny. They mentioned the Riker last, just so we'd be like, ah. But from left to right, bottom to top, there was the USS Riker, the Capricorn, the Lexington, then the Athena, which was already there, mm-hmm. then the Horizon, then the Crimson. So there was a total of 6 ships. There must have been like at least 12 or 15
there
Klingon
was a bunch.
Ships.
Yeah.
There were more Klingon ships than there were Federation ships.
Which was on purpose for the Federation to be under... shipped.
Yes, but how does the Federation not get hurt in that battle? Does that mean that all the captains of all the Klingon ships were in on the joke?
Yes.
And I find that difficult to believe that all the captains would...
The Federation probably had better weapons.
I find it hard to believe that all the Klingons went along with this and just pretended it was all good.
This was these were the ships that were associated with Wojcik. He's their leader. He told them what to do. And I've heard other people complain about this solution online, and I get it. I think it's a valid argument that it's kind of silly or it's a gimmick. I side with the argument, not original to me, but I side with this argument that it's ritual. The point of this episode is that ritual and culture are important.
I know.
And there's a way to respect that. And this was a dance.
I understand that it was like a dance and all that. But at the same time, part of me feels like a fake win feels really like it also could be considered very dishonorable.
Well, some people have also pointed out online that this is a different win than what was originally offered. Originally, the Federation offered to give them this planet within Federation space as refugees being gifted this planet. In this case, the Klingons now own this independent. They're not in the Federation. They have total jurisdiction. Right. And so in that sense, you could argue that Wojcik was able to...
They won it in battle.
Yeah, he was able to be like, this is going to work for us because now we can do all our crazy weird Klingon shit and you can't, you know... it's kind of like with the EU and then the Brexit.
We can raise targs.
Speaking of refugees, in Caleb's argument, the point where I feel like, because there's that big argument between Caleb and Jaden, the point that I think Caleb started to lose me was near the beginning. When he said, I'm here to affirm the resolution that the Federation must provide and indeed enforce asylum for the Klingons. Yeah. How do you enforce freedom on a culture?
I think one thing that was not adequately...
If you're the Federation.
That was not adequately conveyed in this episode, I presume they purposely did this to avoid undercutting the drama, but in a debate club, you are assigned a topic... And it might be a ridiculous topic. Your goal is to defend it regardless. And the problem is, Caleb, he's taking an argument, and now he's arguing as strong as he can.
Right.
But it is at its base kind of crazy.
Because
the Federation, why would they do that?
I think though that like there was a lot of the arguments he made were good. I think he just stepped one step too far by using the word enforce asylum.
I'm not putting that on him because that was the resolution he was given. Like when he's saying that initially, he's saying like that's the argument that he's been given.
But what
prove.
I'm saying is that I think the rest of his argument was pretty good. I think had he not said that, I think his argument would have been stronger.
100% agreeing with you. You can blame the doctor or whoever assigned him that argument.
No, but he didn't
invent the argument.
No. What you're saying is you're saying the flaw was in the assignment, he was assigned it aside. No, I'm not saying
his side included that clause.
Look, I'm saying, okay, first of all, yes, I agree that the assignment was problematic to try to defend that point. But what I'm saying is that the argument that Caleb presented, he said a lot of good things.
I agree.
When he used the phrase enforce asylum, yes. I think that ruined any good argument he had.
And my point is that was not part of his argument.
It was. He said enforce asylum.
No, that was his assertion that he was then went on to attempt to support with argument.
No, the assignment was never to.
That's how debate club works. Debate club is you are given.
I know how debate club works. I'm saying their assignment was not to enforce asylum. That was clearly it.
Caleb, that was the position he was defending.
Caleb brought up that his point himself.
You can't argue, you can't change the position.
I'm saying the position that he was given was not to enforce asylum.
Why did he argue? Then he lost immediately because he changed the position.
That was a supporting argument he was given.
No, I disagree.
His assignment was not, why should the Federation enforce asylum? That was not the assignment
that
he was given.
That was exactly the assignment.
No, it wasn't. That was an argument he provided. That was his argument that he did not have to provide.
That was the position he was defending.
The position never mentioned anything about enforcing asylum. That was never part of the position.
You guys are really something. I ask Jesse from Open Pike, Isaac from Check 365.
His position was never. They were never right. Like, the doctor was never like, why should the Federation enforce asylum? That was never the assignment.
Right. Well, then he lost. I never said he lost.
I'm just saying.
Take a break.
He didn't lose. That was his supporting argument.
So we're going to take a break.
He could have won the argument without that. It was a supporting argument.
We will be right back.
Right.
We are resolved. You're done.
And we're back.
Come on, you little zygotes.
Gather around and take your seats, little zygotes.
What's up with this little zygotes theme they got going on? They did that earlier, too. The doctor did that in the second episode.
That's like his thing.
But that was the digital dean, Stephen Colbert, also did it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hadn't noticed that.
No pepperoni.
It's the thing they call them.
You do not think I can do this myself. You do not think I can do this myself. You do not think I can do this myself. You do not think I can do this myself.
I found three more percussive beats.
Okay, great. Let's do that.
That's from this sound.
Okay.
It's a belch. This is after he eats the spicy stew.
Oh, at the end.
Yeah.
And trails too.
This is Caleb laughing at or laughing at something he said. I think it's like after he like eats, he says the stew is spicy, and then Caleb's like, he goes, the stew is spicy or something. He says something about the stew being spicy. He says like,
wait, Dan, can you take a moment and clarify for me one thing? What adjective does he ascribe
spicy
to the stew? Spicy. Okay.
Spicy.
And then Caleb goes. And then there's
out of context. That's a very strange
sounds like a whinny.
Sound. It does, like Mr. Ed.
And this is Ake after something. I can't remember. I have a sound for it. I don't remember which it is, but it's this one. So it's like.
Was that from before?
I don't
like that beat.
Yeah, I did.
You like that beat?
I quite liked it.
I like that scene when she stumbles all in and like Thok is like,
you look very bad.
And she asks her if she's hungover and she's like, nope. It's because she's still drunk. Yeah. Like and that whole scene, even when it's all dramatic and like they're fighting, like Caleb and Jaden are fighting and it's all serious. It cuts back to her. She's still looking like kind of like woozy and wavy. She's like, it's barely holding it together.
Something they've been doing very well on this show. It's almost the inverse of Lower Decks in some ways, where Lower Decks had a lot of comedy, but punctuated with some very good drama. Mm-hmm. This has a lot of good character drama, but they've really good at keeping up all these little bits and bobs here and there.
Wait, so that warrior stew was like some entrail stew?
Entrail stew.
And you had to be a warrior or some shit? Yeah. To get it, like you weren't Caleb or like
that's what I heard.
I wouldn't be so dismissive of it, but yes, you have to be a warrior.
Jaden couldn't eat it yet.
You have to prove yourself in battle.
He thought he couldn't eat it.
What they say, yeah.
Ah, warrior stew.
We will.
I smell vintage blood wine.
That's real Klingon food, right?
That is warrior stew.
Prune juice.
Warriors drink.
Drink your prune juice.
We will continue all that discussion in just a bit, but first, very swiftly, very quickly, we must get through this week's entry in WTHHIHTB, a.k.a. Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
Warriors drink.
No, that's prune juice.
That's not it. Okay. So the way this
drink
game works.
Drink prune juice.
The way this game works is... I find a sound clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe.
Oh, God.
And then I will play that sound clip. It's none of these. Whatever Dan's playing is not one of those sound clips. But what I'll do is
I don't get it.
I'm going to play that sound clip. I'll play it twice for you.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
And then you got to try to guess it. Now, we played a sound clip last week. People have sent in guesses.
So I'm not joking, Lee.
We're going to go over these guesses, and then we'll play the sound clip for next week, and you, I'm talking to you, you can send in your guess.
Just a crazy idea.
First, we should play the clip from last week, which was... No. That's not it. Here's the clip from last week.
I love our show, but movies... That's how you change hearts and minds, kids.
I can't remember the episode name, but I know what episode it is.
All right. So Dan knows which episode it is. What series was it?
It was Strange New World.
All right. And which character is it?
It was Anson Mount's character of Captain Pike as his mystery character, mystery science. He was a writer. He was a movie writer. He was a script writer. Got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Good job. Wow.
Right. It was the mystery episode with what's her name?
Khan Supanusum Fun. That's another King of the Hill reference. That's two in one.
Noonien Singh. What's her name? Noonien Singh.
La'an.
Yes, La'an. Yes. Yeah, that was her episode.
She's not a monster. All right. So yes, Dan, you got the right guess. We got a number of correct guesses this week, including one sent by Jesse from Open Pike Night, which one would expect. So here's Jesse's guess.
I do have a guess for this week's where in the actual hell have I previously heard that quote from Star Trek?
He's fucking with you.
Was Anson Mount as TK Bellows, Gene Roddenberry in the Strange New Worlds season 3 episode, A Space Adventure Hour.
That is, of course,
correct.
The monster.
And lots of useful information.
The Loch Ness Monster.
So,
not hard to understand, Bob.
Jesse got it. We also got an email from Brandon. Brandon also says, Star Trek Strange New World, Season 3, Episode 4, A Space Adventure Hour. It's a hologram of totally not Gene Roddenberry that looks like Pike in La'an's murder mystery holodeck program. He's talking about making movies after his TV show gets canceled.
Holograms.
So, Brandon, very good. A lot of information. We appreciate that. You can count yourself among the winners. But we have to give it to the recurring champion, I think, Amy.
You're a freaky little monster that lives in my brain.
You know, for a monster, you're very polite.
Amy's been quickest to bat. Is that a phrase? I don't know. You know, fastest out the gate? That's a good one. Fastest out the gate. And she says, the answer to this week's WTHHIHTB is Strange New World, Season 3, Episode 4, A Space Adventure Hour at 25:36, 25 minutes and 36 seconds. The line was said by Anson Mount as TK Bellows to Hollow Spock and Lan, who are conducting holo interviews to determine who holo strangled Tony Hart at 9 p.m. in his holo bedroom. One of my favorite episodes of SNW. It was written by Dana Horgan and Catherine Lynn and directed by Jonathan Frakes. It first aired on July 31st, 2025 and was rated PG for violence. So thank you. thank you, Amy, for again.
They were considered monsters.
Outdoing yourself and
there
everyone else.
I found it.
Oh, play it again.
They were considered monsters.
Monsters.
You okay.
Monster.
Monster.
Good job, everybody.
They were considered monsters.
Now,
monsters.
When we started this, people accused me of making it too difficult. All right. And
who then, accused you of such a thing?
Everyone. They were
monsters.
And they were like, I don't know what that is. We weren't getting any guesses. So,
they were really hard.
We were trying to make them a little easier, but now I want to go back a little bit the other direction. We want there to be some amount of challenge. So I'm going to play the clip for next week. Now, you got today is Monday. When you're hearing this is Monday. You got until Friday to send in your guess. That's when we record the podcast, as it happens. So I'll play this twice. So here you go. Listen very closely and try to figure out where the hell you have heard that before. It's so great. That's a long one. I wanted something, a little more challenging, but give you a bit more length.
No more of your word games.
No. All right. Well, I'm gonna play it one more time because I do regularly play these twice, even though that is a bit of a long one. But listen very closely and see if you can guess. And send it in to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or on social media @itsgotstartrek.
Who said that?
Well, that's what you gotta tell us.
Oh,
what
my.
If I'm wrong?
Well, it's okay if you're wrong or you send in a goofy guess, whatever. It's meant for audience engagement. You know, that's the whole point, right? We're trying to get you tied
right.
into it. So you gotta listen to this week and next week. You know, it's a kind of a trick. It's a psychological trick. Then they're like, oh, I want to find out what it is. I gotta listen to the next week.
You always insisted in making everything a fight.
Oh, that's where it's from. Listen. Oh.
You always insisted in making everything a fight.
Right. That's where it's from.
Wow, it's like a hi-hat or
yeah.
some shit.
Yeah.
All right. We should put that on our Patreon. We'll have a STEM bank so people can make
STEM
make,
like
make music.
Science. Science, elementary, and math.
Science, elementary,
science.
And math.
That's STEM, right?
Yes, that's right. You know, so
Kalish.
So the three of us here went to one of the best school systems in the country, in the United States.
This guy's talking about science. Science.
We're all really good at science.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock the Gino, extra sweet. Macabre bread, no problem.
Hey, remember when Caleb made this joke?
Master debater.
Yes.
Well, check out what I did.
Master debater. Master debater.
Check it out.
Master debater. Master debater. Master debater.
Okay. The night bird.
Night bird.
I like this one.
Night bird.
I like her B in this one.
Night bird.
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 Bird. Bird.
It's like remember Dance with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the actor who played in the new Battlestar Galactica? She was with Edward James Olmos. She was like the president, mm-hmm. and he was like the military yes. leader. What's that actor's name? Yeah. But she was in
Dances with Wolves,
and her name was Kicking Bird.
Yes,
and she said it all like Kicking Bird.
Yeah, because she liked to kick pigeons in the face.
And she was like Bird, yeah. And that's how Troy says it.
Nightbird.
Bird.
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 Okay.
Bird. She was also in Donnie Darko.
Okay. Captain Ake's office. Is really awesome.
Mary McDonnell. Mary McDonnell.
Okay.
I'm enjoying the settings that they've provided us here.
Has a curved back that reminded me of Wrath of Khan when Kirk gets his glasses from from Bones.
Yeah. That silly apartment.
And then they have a fireplace and the back wall's kind of curved. That's kind of what her office reminded me of a little bit.
And it also looked like I don't know if there's a cockle oven vibe to the tile.
A
cockle oven. Is
Eulich, Judge.
It's like a wood burning stove that has a lot of these ceramic bricks so that like they when it gets hot it like
for pizza.
You don't cook in it, it's just for heating.
For heating in the
but
winter.
But the tiles for her couch or whatever you'd call that were evoked that. But my main point is I'm really impressed with this office space that they've given us because it's basically like her ready room, but she's got her desk area, she's got the lounge area. There's different vibes that they can do depending on what they're trying to, what feelings they're trying to evoke.
She's usually sitting in a lounge chair.
She's got the chaise lounge.
Did you notice that when Obel Wojcik sat down, he was nearly as tall as her while he was sitting down?
He's got long legs.
There's a scene where there's a shot where he's sitting down and she's standing next to him, and it looks like he's almost as tall as her sitting.
And when
down.
He stands up, he's like twice her height.
Yeah, it's crazy. He is.
But there's a lot of scenes with Holly Hunter being super short compared to, like, for example, when she's talking to Jaden, he's also super tall.
Yeah,
compared to her.
These are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. okay. Yeah. So her office is cool. To me, again, I've mentioned it earlier, like last week or the week before, that I get a lot of Deep Space Nine vibes out of this show because there's like this big place, right? I know they have a spaceship, kind of like the Defiant. They have this spaceship that if they need to go someplace, they can do some spaceship shit. And even the spaceship has a sub-spaceship that can do its own spaceship shit. But like, for the most part, there's like this place that they're all hanging out at, and it's got outside bits.
Right. Well, it's like the Academy.
Well, they said at the beginning of this episode, they were 3 days into their first official space flight.
So they're doing their little fun exercise, so we don't see as much of the grounds or whatever this week. But the vibe is interesting because it's expansive, whereas a lot of times on the ships, it's the same hallways over and over, and they're meant to be different decks and stuff like this. There's like all these different places they are going to. Even though they've got like the atrium, the office, there's a few major sets.
Well, they have programmable
sets.
Matter, so they can just make rooms on the fly.
Yes, but from a production standpoint, I'm impressed with how much they've been able to utilize the technology that's not always been fully well utilized in the past, in my opinion, with regard to like, what do you call it? Like the dome, the grab, what, you know, where the special effects where they can film it and it looks all cool. Like what they use
the thing that looks all cool. Yeah.
Which is like really cool, but it doesn't work for like everything. Like sometimes it's better just to like go fucking outside and like film some shit.
Speaking of looking cool, before I forget, I wanted to mention that the way on the Klingon Nomad planet, the way they rendered those ships looks super like realistic and good. Yeah. It looked really good.
Yeah, totally.
Like the way those, like not since that episode of Voyager when they went back in time to Sarah Silverman land. Yeah. And you remember they had a news camera footage of like the Voyager.
It was like a VHS.
Yeah, it looked all real. Not since then have I been so convinced of like of a Star Trek of ship flying over a planet. Like those ships, like when it zoomed off and left Caleb or Jaden behind, I thought they looked really good.
I'm very impressed with the production design because it's like a lot of thought and care has gone into it.
Yeah, and like
which just tends to be true in Star Trek, but sometimes it seems like they're more excited, and I think the people working on this were really excited by what they got to do.
I said this before, but the fact that it's set in the 32nd century, I think they just told like their designers, it's just, they were like, just let your imagination run wild and think of whatever crazy shit you want. Well, and then they have, and it's worked out really, like, it's really interesting.
Also from what they're doing with, in terms of the geopolitics or galactopolitics of the...
Cosmopolitics.
That's a good one, actually. I like that. Yeah. So on Discovery, there was already the stuff with, you know, the Romulans and unifying with the Vulcans and Navarre. Romulus has exploded. Now we learn that the Klingons have been hobbled as a group of people. And part of what that does is it clears or resets the state of things. And I know that's already happened with the Federation being weakened after the burn or whatever, but that's reinforcing that this is a new environment which gives them so many more storytelling possibilities, because we don't have to think so much about, like, well, this is where the Klingons are, and this is where the Romulans are, and this is where the Cardassians are. Enough time has passed. Things are very different. They keep reminding us of this. And I enjoy that, because it's kind of like when you're watching TNG and you're like, oh, they can introduce new aliens and new conflicts and have old competitors be old enemies be allies, etc.
I was reading online, someone was like complaining about the fact that there's so many alien mixes.
Oh, no.
And I thought that was started on that. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, because it's like 1,000 years yeah. later. Like, it's only natural that when you get a bunch of people, when you have a federation or whatever, a bunch of different people different people of all species coming together that can, like, have sex with each other, and it's all good
peacefully.
Yeah. Like people that like settle on another planet with other types of people.
Yeah, it's only natural that people are going to combine and together and create like new things.
Which brings up, I think, a very
future people
interesting and cool thing from my perspective that they did in this episode, which was introducing the idea of Lura Thok being a Klingon mentor to Jaden.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
And part of what makes it interesting is that because Lura Thok is of mixed ethnicity, she has the perspective that lets her see things she can see things very Klingon style, but a little bit from outside, which is what gives her the capability, I think, of explaining things to Jaden in a way that he understands. And that's what I really was impressed with, them positioning her as somebody who has the authority to speak about Klingon stuff, but also is simultaneously inside Klingon culture and outside Klingon culture.
Yeah.
That's one of the fascinating things about people who come from blended communities, that it changes the dynamics a little bit.
It was interesting how, like his view of how his father felt, how Drekal felt about him, and then her view and how different they were. Because in his, like during his view, where he thought he made his dad so angry that he caused him to shot, and during that scene, like his dad, like just like immediately screams and immediately shoots the bow and immediately misses. But then in her flashback, he doesn't immediately scream, shoot, and go. He like first pauses, looks over. Then he kind of screams and shoots. So like, it's almost like Jaden, if what she says is to be believed, even though she wasn't there, it's almost, it implies that Jaden sort of forgot the part where he kind of was looking, he focused, because our memories, we remember kind of what our memories aren't trustworthy. So
particularly when emotion is.
Yeah. And so it's like, he kind of forgot that part, but also what she was saying about how Klingons don't miss out of anger. Yeah. She was kind of saying that if anything, that's, anger makes Klingons better hunters, which is totally the opposite of like humans. Like, we're always taught that, like in everything we watch or taught, we're always taught like how bad it is to do shit out of anger. Like, it's like, oh no, he's driving angry. Watch out. He's going to fuck it up. You know, like, it's like, oh no, you're too angry. But like,
sometimes you gotta be angry.
But like, the Klingons are the opposite. Like, they're supposed to get angry. That's like their whole fucking deal, which is like,
And what I was saying earlier, I just real briefly, when I saw that scene originally, I was like, that's when I kind of figured, I was like, oh, I think this is the deal here is going to be that his dad was letting him go, not abandoning him, but he was like doing like the Klingon thing is to let him go. And Jaden himself repeatedly said that he did not fully understand Klingon culture, even though he was raised by Klingons. Whereas his brother totally did, and it took him a while to fully understand the message his brother was giving to him, and that's what he basically got here. And that scene where, you know, his dad is all like, honor your brother, and then Jane's like, I am, and then like, that's where I was like straight up burst into tears. I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
I do not understand.
But yes, Dan.
I was saying, it was so, yeah, in her version, Jaden, she was saying that Jaden basically kind of humbled his dad. Jaden he defeated him in this weird backwards way.
Because he was like, no, fuck you. I am honoring my brother by not doing what you're telling me.
Right. So his dad wanted him to be this certain way. And because Jaden resisted him, it's like his dad wanted him to be a certain way and he would have respected him for being a certain way. Yeah. But since Jaden resisted him, some backwards ass shit where he even respected him even more that he was willing to stick to his guns. So he was able to defeat him through the act of resisting tradition. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, so if a kid acts against their parents' will, is the parent supposed to respect them more because it means the kid won the battle? You know, does that mean like the parent? It's like the parent wants the kid to be good, but they respect them even more if the kid is bad. It's kind of weird. It's like opposite day.
But I think we've seen examples of this in Klingon culture before. I think some stuff with Worf and a few other things.
I understand what she's saying, and it's not exactly like that. But but when I let my mind run down that path, it eventually gets down to opposite day. But you say something's good, which means it's bad, but it's opposite day. So when you say something's bad, that it's good. It's good for things to
be bad.
Unless
you're saying it in the 1980s sense of the term bad, which meant good.
But if something's
on opposite day, would be all fucked up.
If something's bad, it's good. But like you don't want things to be good because it's opposite day, so it's bad. But then that's bad, so it's good again. But then good really means bad. So
Jesse, are you following this? Because I'm not 100% following this.
Not 100%. I'm really trying.
I'm getting the flavor of it, but I'm not.
So when you say something is,
I got a taste.
So when you say, listen, when you say something is good, you're saying it's bad. But in your heart, you want things to be.
When you're saying something is bad, you're saying it's good.
No, you got to let me finish. Okay. The reason you don't understand is because you're not letting me finish. Okay. When you say something is good, you're actually saying it's bad. That's on the surface level of what you're speaking. But when you, what you're actually thinking is, oh, that's bad. That's good because I like bad things. So when you say something good is bad, when you say something is good, you're saying it's bad. But in your heart, you're like, oh, bad. I like bad things, but I don't like to like things because liking things is good. So it's bad again. And you see it loops back and forth.
I think it's very well stated.
yes.
Another observation, if I might, I'm just
he's just trying to move on.
If I just might add
no,
one
but
of my own.
No, I just want to say though that I was being a bit hyperbolic though. I do like that view of sort of like how his dad was impressed with Jaden for
different
like
culture.
for being like oh yeah, fuck you, dad. I'm gonna stick to my shit, and he's like, all right, man. Yeah. But like as a classic Klingon, he has to present it in this certain way that is very confusing and inscrutable for Jaden.
Another thing I'm again reminded this episode, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, that I'm increasingly appreciating the brilliance of setting this in the school, in a kind of an academic environment, because they're able to do some explorations of humanity that really wouldn't make sense with professional adult Starfleet people, but makes total sense with teen or early 20s young people who are inexperienced and passionate and all this other stuff. Like this whole debate between Jaden and Caleb, right? Them learning that the antagonism that was generated between them was actually due to their own personal shit.
You said doo-doo.
Yes. And that's an interesting lesson to learn. And it might not work so well if it was like between like Picard and Riker. You wouldn't buy them not having already learned that lesson. So I'm digging that.
One more at risk of starting shit. I do want to go back to the Caleb and Jaden's argument again. At one point when they stops becoming a debate and it starts getting personal between them, is Caleb goes like, your argument implies that all Klingons must feel the same. And then Jaden's like, it demands Klingons exist as Klingons. Caleb says, Klingons need to exist, period. And then Jaden says, and we do, as ourselves. And then Caleb says, I know a Klingon who has rejected the isolationism you say defines all Klingons and now enjoys Federation provided food, safety, and resources. He's talking about Jaden being like, oh yeah, well, like you're taking advantage of all this shit that
it was
you're
a
talking
total,
shit
oh
on.
Yeah, argument.
Yeah, and it was a bullshit argument because it's not. It's more of an emotional response because he felt like he was losing the argument, because it's not a real argument, because he's acting like Jaden is mooching off of the Federation, being like, is criticizing the Federation but mooching on him. But first of all, each person is allowed their own decision, right? So if Jaden wants to do that, that's Jaden's right. He can argue but he's arguing for the rights of all Klingons, not just himself. Just because he enjoys Federation shit doesn't mean all Klingons. And even Caleb himself said, your argument implies that all Klingons must feel the same. Then he goes on to say like, oh, well, you're taking it, you're arguing but you're taking advantage of our shit.
Both of them at this stage are making more emotional arguments.
Also, it implies that Jaden's getting a free ride out of it. Like he's taking advantage of what the Federation has to offer without giving back. Caleb is basically implying that Jaden is not an asset or an investment.
I didn't catch that. I just saw him saying like, you are here. You are the example that proves my argument.
I'm explaining why, because like he's saying like, you're saying that like Klingons should shouldn't be forced help from the Federation, and it's like, oh, you're a hypocrite because you're taking advantage of our shit. And that's kind of like saying like, oh, well, you're enjoying all the good shit Federation has to offer, which is ignoring the fact that Jaden is an officer that is providing it's a two-way relationship. Jaden is offering back to the Federation.
I just don't agree that that extra implication is there. I think it's sufficient. All he's saying is, you demonstrate that you chose to do this, so maybe other Klingons would choose to do this. So I think it's a weak argument, by the way. I just don't think he's saying that you're a waste of space. That's not implicit.
I'm not saying that he's specifically saying that Jaden is a waste of space. I'm saying the argument ignores... I'm not saying he's specifically calling Jaden a waste of space. I'm saying the argument ignores the fact that it's a two-way relationship. Mm-hmm. That Jaden is not just here enjoying Federation shit. Jaden is earning his keep by giving back to the Federation.
Well, from my perspective, I think the main... important thing is the end part.
I just don't know why else you would say like I know a Klingon who's rejected isolism. You say defines all Klingons and now enjoys Federation provided food. It just sounds like he's saying like, oh yeah, well you're enjoying our shit, so it's easy. So you're being a hypocrite for saying people should be allowed to reject it.
The last bit is I think the important part to the whole structure, because Jaden comes back and makes a good argument that is not driven by emotion and anger, because both he and Caleb, I think, were making that mistake before. But he comes back and makes that very eloquent argument about, I'm not going to summarize it here because he says it more clearly, but about the importance of people respecting each other, and how you do a disservice to, like, if the Federation did force this on the Klingons, then they would no longer be the Federation. They would be the shady asshole colonist asshole people. That's a very good argument.
I mean, his argument, sum it up, is basically like, the Federation's going to Federation, let the Klingons Klingon.
His argument is very specific. It's if the Federation forced the Klingons to do this, both the Federation and the Klingons accepted, both the Federation and the Klingons the Federation would not be the Federation, and the Klingons would not be the Klingons.
Yes, that's exactly right. Which he's saying, if the Federation's going to do what the Federation wants, let the Klingons do what the Klingons want. That's basically distilling it down into its most basic form, I think.
All right. Any other bits and bobs as we close things down? I did like, I think it was Ake who had, I guess it was like the last line of the show where she says, maybe the trick is to not let go of the past, but to let the present in. I thought that was an interesting way to articulate the idea that progress does not mean you forget about like your culture. It just means you gotta think about what's going on today. And it was like a really nice little bit of conclusionary scripting.
Oh, was that Ake who said that? Maybe the trick is not to let go of the past, but let the present in?
Yeah, it was basically the last.
I thought it was Jaden, but
she was talking to...
So at the end, it looked like Jaden or Caleb put down a trophy. I guess he won the debate competition. It looked like he put down a trophy at the very end. I saw a trophy at the end.
He was like giving, I think, or maybe he was like putting it between them because now they're brothers, which was another sweet part.
I thought he
put it down between, he placed it between them. I think it was symbolically saying we both tied.
But
we both win.
I mean, I wasn't sure what I took it as, and I'm not saying I don't know whether he's saying that we both won or not. It seems like it was given to him initially, was what I took.
He's
it
a
as.
Rascal. He might have swiped it. He might have gone into the doctor's office and swiped it.
So I don't know. It looked like he won, but maybe he didn't. Yeah, I don't know. I
mean, it'd be kind of weird because it kind of like fell to pieces. And then Jaden had the better argument at the end, and he was just standing in the corner.
Oh, I was going to talk quick. There was that short list, but it wasn't really that important.
We should wind things down, I think.
You asked me if I had a list, and I said I did.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do the list.
I don't care. We don't need to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. I think the last thing I was going to mention is when Wojcik gives Jaden the weapon, like, that's Jaden finally understanding, I don't got to use the weapon.
Right.
It's a ritual. Like, it's meant as a good thing. It doesn't mean I have to change who I am.
Well, because
he didn't understand that before.
Yeah, because originally when his Drekkal gave him the weapon, he was like, I don't want a weapon.
Yeah.
And now he's getting the weapon and he's like, oh, I do want a weapon now.
His dad probably felt all bad. He's like, no, I like worked really hard. I made that out of like weird bones and strings and things.
Yeah, he specifically said, I don't want, I do not want a weapon. Yeah, that's what he said, I don't. He didn't say I don't, he said, I do not want a weapon. That's what he said.
Do not want a weapon. All right, and I do not want to belabor this conversation. next week, we will be discussing Ceres Acclamation Mill.
Oh, shit.
Or Sam, a Sam-centric.
Whoa, wait a second.
A Sam-centric episode.
Sam-centric?
Sam-centric. Again.
Inaccurate.
Yeah, you know, focusing.
It was superseded by the Kittimer Accord.
I thought it was the Kittimer Accord. Isn't it the Kittimer Accord?
It's the Kittimer Accord. She mispronounced it. That's something to look forward to next week. Send in your...
Chief O'Brien!
This is for Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Social media at It's Got Star Trek.
Chief O'Brien!
Subscribe to us on YouTube if you wouldn't mind. That'd be cool.
I could not.
Haiku for a review. Or no, you read a review and we'll give you a haiku.
This is not about you.
Oh, I wanted to mention real quick. This is the second time someone has told Caleb that this is not about you.
Yeah.
The first time was when he was about to make out with Tarima, mm-hmm. and then they found his father and Aki found him, and he's like, "Hey, look, good news! I found my mom." And she's like, "This isn't about you, Caleb." And now this now Jaden.
This is not.
And
about
now Jaden. So it's like this
being other people have like less directly, but have given him the sort of like, the same idea. It was like, dude. Like, there's other shit going on.
Yeah, Caleb thinks it's all about him. It's because he's...
he can be an asshole.
It's because he's got, like, something even more intense than the only child syndrome. Yeah. He's, like, got, like, the I'm the only person syndrome.
And also, my mom is out there, possibly...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Schrodinger's mom.
Schrodinger's mom.
That's difficult. All right.
Nightbird.
All right, we will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
I trust the stars. Good fight.
That's not funny.
Good fight, though. Because he died, and then he said good fight.
Yeah. See? What are you doing?
No pepperoni.
The pepperoni is the whole point.
I will not eat anything that did not die in a fair fight.
It doesn't even come from a real pig.